Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday. No, it's Thursday morning. It's Thursday morning and it's rainy and kind of like...
But warm.
Yeah, warm, and I was going to say muggy. It's just, you know, that kind of day. But it's but it's beaming with sunshine in here. Isn't it, Rosemary? Rosemary suddenly gives me the look. I start talking about rainbows and sunshine. I get the look from Rosemary.
I like gloom.
Oh, no, you don't. You never bring a little black cloud with you. We have a our panel this morning. We welcome your phone calls, roundtable at WA, or your emails, rather, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'd love to hear from you. We're going to talk about many topics today. And let me introduce our panel officially to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. And Rosemary Romeo, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, and our ray of sunshine.
Yay.
Yay. And speaking of sunshine, Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is here as well.
With Good a morning. Terrific tie on this morning. Mm-hmm. Just fantastic. And you can see it. Catch it, Joe? How do you do
well,
that?
Well, they would just go to WAMC.org, and, yeah. And in about 5 minutes, you will see the time that...
time-lapse.
It looks like you're trying to hang
yourself. You have plenty of time to log on and see Mike lift his tie to the camera. We welcome your comments again, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Boy, the stock market was scary yesterday.
Boy, it was.
Wow. So at one point, down over 400 points, and it was a steep sell-off, spreading fear to Wall Street, and it was a very scary time. After a steep sell-off in Europe, we saw it. At one point, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had plunged 460 points, or 2.8%. And it later swung higher to close down 1.1% or 173 points. So normally you'd say, oh, my God, 173 points. And instead you say, well, thank God it wasn't 460 yeah. points. Yeah. But it's still scary stuff.
And if you think about it, so many of us have gone to you know, TIAA-CREF and 401Ks. And that's what really where it gets scary, as opposed to these defined pensions, which are almost no more. You almost never see them.
Yeah. Very few companies offer defined pension plans. Everybody's pensions, or most everybody's pensions, are tied up in the stock market, basically.
Yeah. And so it's scary. And Ryan wrote us about this show this morning. He said, in advance of the show today, I was hoping you might talk a bit about the economy, which seems to be heading for a crash given how the stock market is doing. I have a friend in the business who says the economy is going to crash and be prepared, yet I have heard almost no one talking about it. I know that the Ebola scare makes news, but I think that the economic situation is really important.
I took macroeconomics. I'm an educated woman, but I yes, swear I cannot figure out what is going on here. I don't know why the stocks are as high as they are now, although I certainly have benefited from it. I have TIAA-CREF and all the things we've been talking about. And why suddenly this week it's plunging, or this week and last. Why? Ebola's been happening.
I don't know how
ISIS
that
has been
affected.
Happening. Yeah. And the reasons given by various people who you hear interviewed are as extreme right. and varied as you can
sure.
imagine.
I heard one person saying that the airline stocks were down because they were anticipating that because of the Ebola scare, you know, the planes yeah. wouldn't be yeah. flying the same way anymore.
The price of oil is down. Somehow that leads to
a.
But why would that lead to the prices of the stocks going down when oil is, except in gas producing and oil producing countries?
Or companies.
That would be bad, but that's not us.
No, but there are companies. And if it's cheaper, they're not making as much money. And so, therefore, people are selling. Well, those stocks at a reduced price.
If you took macroeconomics, maybe you can explain to me
no,
why if the stock market
no,
has
took
been
macroeconomics.
Booming,
macro.
Booming for right. the last couple of years,
yeah.
why the economy has been so flat.
Sluggish,
yeah.
right.
So maybe it's not that
up.
Related. Well, yeah, maybe it's catching up to the
and
economy.
And the dollar
yeah.
is really yeah. strong right now, which is one reason that the
good
price
time to
of
go to
oil
Europe,
is
they
going
say.
To
vary,
they mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. although, I don't know, I still seem to be saying paying the same $40 a tank always. I don't know why I personally never seem to benefit from these swings.
Mm.
But I don't get what it is that's started the downturn in the market right now.
I just want to, this doesn't answer your question, but let me just read this from the from the New York Times. The steep plunges on Wednesday also signal something more serious to other analysts and investors. They fear the governments and central banks have failed to anticipate a recent weakening in the global economy and that policymakers may now struggle to prevent their economies from stalling. As a result, the faltering global recovery after the 2008 financial crisis may now be in jeopardy, particularly in Europe. Again, a reminder, we're all in this together,
yeah,
folks.
We're all connected.
Yeah,
right?
It's getting more so. It is terribly frightening, but some of it is just psychological. You know, a scare starts.
Yeah.
And when the scare starts, you know, people smell it and smell the fear. And it just
starts to pull their money out.
It takes off.
Okay, second question.
Yeah.
They say, watch for this and be prepared. What is it that we can do when you say our money is tied up in mutual funds?
These are the same people that tell you to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah, be in the long haul, but be prepared.
Right.
I have no idea what that means. It's like deer on the side of the road.
Well, you
know they're
there.
Watch out for it. Okay, great.
Well, you can do something.
Keep an eye out.
For example, you could, and I've done this in the past. I actually did it once, but people try to play the market. You know, you think it's going to happen, so you take the money out of the stocks and you put it into money market. It doesn't get you any money, obviously, because money market, you know, is pathetic in terms of what it gets for you. But at least you don't lose that much.
That's true.
Well, I will sit here and offer no advice to anybody with their stocks. I don't want to be responsible for anybody's pension just going down the tubes.
Mm.
You know, Alan, there's fracking involved in this, too.
Sure.
Because part of the reason for the decline in the price of oil is that America is producing and others are producing
natural
more
gas.
Canadians, too, especially. And so we are now exporting oil, and so low prices hurt us.
Well, that's interesting. But, of course, as Mike just indicated, because there is so much more, it's obviously going to drive the prices down.
The demand for oil down, as we're relying more on natural gas, and that's going to put more pressure on states that allow the mining of natural gas to that don't allow it to start allowing it, and that sort of becomes a New York story.
Now we're going to talk in a little bit about Ebola, and we're going to talk a little bit about hysteria in regards to Ebola. However, I do, and as we wrap up our conversation on this, again, I want to read from the Times article: "What caused the sudden rally in the stock market just before 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday is not clear, but it may have been fueled in part by a report from Bloomberg News saying that Janet Yellen, the chairwoman of the Federal Reserve, had expressed confidence about the United States economy at a closed meeting in Washington last weekend. The Fed is winding down its monetary stimulus program."
Mm.
So talk about hysteria and knee-jerk. She may have said, and it could have been, and this is, and
last weekend.
Right, last weekend, and then suddenly they do it, and you respond.
Right. Well, I mean, if in fact the United States philosophy has been to, push up the economy by printing money and doing that kind of thing and borrowing money, and sooner or later we all know we have to get out of it, and she gives a hint that we're not going to do that anymore, that could lead to hysteria. You know, Eric just wrote to us and said anyone who has a 401k has options other than equities. If you believe you are not a gambler, you don't belong in the stock market. The market is driven by emotion and fear, not business. That's from Eric, and I had just gotten through sort of saying that.
That's true. Maybe it's a good opportunity to buy, some people would say.
Also, I want the business press to stop referring to Walmart as a barometer of the American economy.
I think that's a very reasonable request.
Let's vote on it.
Because they came out with a sales forecast. It was lower than expected. And they said, well, that is a barometer of our economy.
Maybe it's from all of us boycotting Walmart.
Right. Maybe it's people just upset with the business itself.
Right.
But anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back and we welcome your telephone or your comments is what I'm trying to say. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Roundtable at WAMC.org for comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And are we caught up in letters, Alan?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's a yes because I was doing something else here.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I'll be back to that other
screen.
All right,
you can do that, and then we'll come back and we'll check in with our mailbag.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ebola, and we're gonna go to a bunch of different stories on this subject. First, I'll go to Mike here and talk about what this means for hospital workers in New York, and I think we're obviously hearing these stories out of Massachusetts, Vermont, and Connecticut as well.
We have a piece today by Claire Hughes who covers medical issues, and it's about how hospitals around New York will soon be getting some training. And that seems to be the underlying theme in New York and in other states, that while there is there are protocols for what to do in case of infectious disease outbreak, people are not practiced in it. And what they need to do is practice something as little as how to put these sterile suits on and how to take them off. And they say that in Texas, there's speculation that even though this one nurse who did become infected was wearing the protective garments, that she was making them too tight. They needed to be looser. They needed to be turned up a certain way. And then when you take them off, you risk exposure. So really, it comes down to not just having good protocol in place, but to have continual training. It's just like anything else. Do you ever be trained for something like on a computer program or something and then not use it for like a year or two? And then you have to use it, and they say, well, you were trained 6 years ago. Why don't you know how to do it? You know, and I think
because we forget stuff.
I get that. Yeah,
it does. It happens. So you know, continual training and regulations. Underscoring what the regulations are and helping people understand them and getting ready. And
well,
being ready.
That's all true. And there's another issue, and that is we're not quite sure what we're doing yet.
So, well, it is a changing game plan.
Yes.
You would think so from talking to the CDC or listening to the CDC.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's been demonstrated that there are flaws in our protocol, evidently, or flaws in the way we're carrying it out.
I'm having that same feeling I have when we talk about you need training on things that seem so basic, like in Abu Ghraib. We needed to train low-level military people not to humiliate Middle Eastern people. Prisoners. I just didn't see the point of it. Or you have to train men not to punch women in the face. I
you have to train police really on how to handle, potential issues.
Like you're dealing with potential scary
criminals. But this is a little different,
isn't
it?
I don't know. I mean, I've been reading about the hospital, Texas Health Presbyterian.
Yeah.
By the way, the second nurse infected, you know where she's being treated.
Right.
Wayne in Texas.
No,
she went
so
to Emory,
no,
which is what I said. I'd go to the place that knows
you
it.
You did say that.
But that man who they had turned away, comes back, he's vomiting, he's got diarrhea, he's got a high temperature, he's from Liberia, okay? You need training to know that this could be Ebola? They have him lying in the middle of the emergency room. They take his blood samples and put it through the pneumatic tube system that goes through the whole hospital.
Yeah.
At the nurses who are furious at the nurses who are
they're
infected, they're sort of getting blamed for not following procedure or protocol. They're saying, this is what's really going on. Let's take a look at this.
They change the story all the time. You know,
exactly.
They tell us to do this. They tell us to do that. And they blame us for this. Yeah, it's with that, you need also some level of calm. And as much as it's important to hold people accountable and fix the problem, I think there's an awful lot of finger pointing going on, not only in the in the levels of the CDC, but political campaigns are now bringing this in, and everybody's going after each other. And I think that only foments panic.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and it's fear. I mean, you think of back previous
it's
presidential
fear.
Elections. That's how George W. Bush was reelected. Fear. People were afraid of changing things because there hadn't been a terrorist attack, in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are afraid, they're going to just, it's a problem.
I agree with you entirely, except that as more and more things seem to get screwed up, you think, well, okay, you are somewhat different level of fear, but still a little bit scared.
It's legitimate to have anxiety. I mean, it would be. How could you not?
They're just juggling, and the balls are going all over the place and hitting people and giving them.
I'm not suggesting people be nonchalant and not vigilant, but I think panicky. You know, there's politicians now lining up to call for stopping all flights in and out of Africa, West Africa. You know, that's not going to help. I mean, it's already moved out of West Africa. Coming up with ways to control it and deal with it when it does surface and stop it at that point. And the Western world does have the technology and the capacity to do it. And then going into West Africa and helping them deal with it to end the crisis there, those are the right solutions.
That's a really good point you bring up, one of many this morning, Mike, that we do have. I mean, the Western world and the global medical community really does have the knowledge and the capacity to deal with this. They just need to face that it has to be done. And it probably is in West Africa. I think it is in West Africa where the work needs to be done.
The BBC had a very interesting story this morning about Nigeria and saying that, well, everybody's talking about, you know, what's going to happen and how many thousands of people are going to die, that there are several now West African countries that are, in fact, going the other way, where there hasn't been a new case for a little while.
That's a good point.
So getting accurate news about what's going on is the best counter to the hysteria in this case.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to your letters. We have quite a few. We want to read about those, both on the stock market and Ebola. And we'll talk a couple of other topics regarding Ebola, and then we'll move on to other things as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break. Good morning, and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We've talked about two main topics so far in the program, one being the stock market and the economy, the other being Ebola. We have a lot of letters in both camps, and we'll get to those now.
Here we go from Nick. Kudos to Rosemary, who has speculated there may be other transmission modes. The University of Minnesota Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy has announced that its research indicates Ebola may be transmitted in the air. And the previous, quote, science was based on outmoded models from the 40s and 50s. Take a bow, Rosemary. Okay. So Saul says...
You're fear-mongering with that letter, you realize.
What?
You're fear-mongering with that letter, just reading it. Keep calm.
Keep calm. Right, right. Saul says, all. The nurse that traveled by plane after treating an Ebola patient has been criticized for traveling via air. What will happen if Ebola hits New York City, where everyone travels to work via subway or bus? Will they have to walk to work from their homes in the Bronx or Long Island or New Jersey? Limiting travel is no answer. Better decontamination methods should be developed, and that is from Saul. And
Sure. The point on that one was not that she traveled by air, but that she was in a very rare category of someone who had been exposed, and she also had an elevated temperature. Why was she on an airplane? I mean, she had been targeted, she had been told, she knew what the risk was. It does seem more than just, you know, that not her fault, not the airline.
Ah, well, that's right. Okay, so Oh, boy, everything messed up here, Joe. Save me from the Cossacks at the door.
She was heading back to Cleveland to arrange her marriage.
I got it. Hold on a second.
I didn't know that. Okay, that's kind of, yeah.
And her mother and sister work at a medical center where she studied medicine, so they've been asked to stay out of work. And so have all the flight crew for the flight she was on. And they've contacted all the people who flew on the flight with her to monitor them, too. So
those are extenuating circumstances.
Wow. Our own Paul Harvey. Now with
the rest of the story.
Right.
I know that changes it.
Go on, Alan.
And let's keep these letters short, folks. I disagree that halting flights out of West Africa will not help with trying to curb the spread. Bottom line is, if you have a lethal disease that is spreading, you need to contain it, right? It already got here via plane ride. That's all it took. Stop the flights. Step number one, our vaccines will take time to develop. We can afford to have a few more cases arrive. We can't afford, I'm so sorry. Can't afford to have a few more cases arrive in large American city or any other cities around the world. You see how easily the flu spreads. Ebola has a higher death rate than the flu. Common sense, although the flu, by the way, kills a lot more people.
33,000 last year.
When the foot becomes necrotic, we need to amputate the necrosis to keep it from spreading to the rest of the body. In my opinion, that is what needs to be done to contain Ebola, says letter writer. Okay. And then, from Elizabeth. There are many places in our healthcare response system that needs to be examined, but at the hospital level, we need to start looking at mandatory nurse-patient ratios. When a nurse is responsible for too many people, things get missed, and people get sloppy about protocol. Also, please remember that nurses are some of the few people willing to go into the room where someone has Ebola, and that's from Liz. And I think from Nick. Kudos to Rosemary. Oh, yeah, we did that one.
But you can say that again.
Yeah, right.
Kudos to Rosemary.
And from Julius. Julius says, published protocols are great, but unless they are practiced to a point where it becomes almost routine, they are ineffective. Emergency squads, fire, EMS, etc., continually train and practice. When a firefighter heads into a burning building, he doesn't stop to figure out how to put on an air pack. But hospitals are for-profit organizations, and such practice and training needs to be justified. Read the bottom line. I don't know that they're always for-profit organizations,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, then. It doesn't stop, does it?
That's good.
From Jim. The second nurse did call the CDC and was told it was okay to fly. And I guess that's it. Joe, you see anything else?
I think we're missing some here, right?
All
right, did we get down to... you read from Nick, right?
Yes.
And Karen?
Karen. I don't see... wait a second. Here's some more. Yeah, there it is. I see it. Another interesting discussion. Most hospital personnel are not well practiced in the safety precautions required for biosafety level 3 and 4 organisms, such as Ebola virus. I've noticed with my beginning students that all is well when putting on protective items and when working in them. But when it comes time to take them off, they get careless and must be initially watched carefully. They take off the old gloves rather than just the outer pair and remove the rest of the suit with bare hands. They forget to take the outer containment pair of gloves and touch their bare skin as they remove the gown or mask. Glad the CDC has figured out the problem and will be sending watchers. And Peter says, stock market tanking. What Alan said is exactly what people try to do, get money out of the market just before the downturn, which causes the downturn. Sure, oil prices are lower at the moment, to some companies will do worse temporarily, but individuals filling their tanks will do better. There's ups, there's downs, and you can generally feel confident that after the down, there will be an up. Don't panic. These lower prices are an opportunity, and lower gas prices will help the American consumer, who ultimately drives this economy. It makes a very good point about not taking your money out, which I didn't the last time. Went way down, I hit myself in the head, and then I was happy. Now I'm unhappy. Once again. So Gary says, the last time the public was told to stay the course with the market was 2008 when the market collapsed. The banks who caused the crash got bailed out, and the working man's 401ks went bust. Then the banks bought all the stocks back at a lower price with taxpayer money at 0% interest.
I don't know if that's exactly what happened.
Well,
tells you what happened.
Judith says, please tell me, is it actually Django Reinhardt and Stephen Grappelli, or who? I guess playing the music.
Yeah, we'll get back to him.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's it. Did you see anything else?
No. Then there was the one, Rich on Jobs.
Orange County, New York has over 9,000.
There's about 6 more. It's whether you want to do them or not.
9,000 unemployed. The commercials that run to promote Atlantic City on TV are false. AC is in trouble. NYC is against Orange getting casinos. The The casinos need to go as far north as possible for tourism and survival. Who monitors the casinos currently trying to land in New York State? There's no doubt that, or has it been hanky-panky as each town tries to push the casinos that wants approval? We need a New York State job summit, just like the USA needs an Ebola summit. Take over the TV and conquer our nation's problems. Had we done this during major hurricanes before they hit, we would have all been better off. Okay. Go ahead, Joe. Take over.
Okay. You want me to read more, or do you want to go back?
Okay.
No, it's up to you. Do you want me to – what do you want to do?
I'll read a few more.
Okay.
Okay. Stephen, once again, the sky is falling. The stock market is just another catastrophe in the making based on the exploitation of generalized fear routinely injected into the American public through a variety of sources for a variety of reasons. I miss Walt Kelly, for once again, we have met the enemy, and he is us.
Pogo.
And Emil says, a travel ban on all travel in West Africa would not only help contain Ebola, but would protect Americans from coming into contact with this horrible disease. To say with our technology we're able to deal with this better is not true. We first, as a country, should do everything we can to prevent this disease from coming here. Pardon me. Our leaders are plain incompetent and not leaders at all, and that's Rob in Western Massachusetts. Okay. You see anything else? Read it.
Okay. Nick says, market drop fear. Psychology is a large component combined with computer trading where a button is pushed and in microseconds fast sales and purchases occur. We got this from Sean, who says oil prices down because of U.S., British, Israeli, Saudi manipulation to hurt the Russian economy. On Walmart, just on the last point about Walmart, I think you were exactly right. My fiance and I have chosen to shop primarily at Big Y for our groceries because we hate Walmart. It hurts our wallet, but it's the right thing to do. And Jeffrey said, where does the Texas Tea Party stand in the Ebola mess? They want a smaller Fed and local control. Can we let Cruz handle this mess in Texas?
Thank you, Joe.
All right. And there we go. So a lot of letters today. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We will be back with more topics after the short break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, and Mike Spain here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We were just talking a moment in the break about one of the articles, and Rosemary has been quoting it a couple of times this morning about the hysteria. As health officials scramble to explain how two nurses in Dallas became infected with Ebola, psychologists are increasingly concerned about another kind of contagion whose symptoms range from heightened anxiety to avoidance of public places to full-blown hysteria. So far, emergency rooms have not been overwhelmed with people afraid that they have been caught with the Ebola virus, and no one is hiding in the basement and hoarding food, but there is little doubt that the events of the past week have left the public increasingly worried, particularly the admission by Dr. Thomas Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that the initial response to the first Ebola case diagnosed in the United States was inadequate.
Hmm.
Gee, no kidding.
Well, the story goes on to compare or to look at the hysteria that happened after anthrax was reported, you know, following 9/11, and any time white powder showed up anywhere, people were just, you know, some people were taping, you know, duct taping their windows shut and refusing to go to work, and you know, it just shows you that when you have a fear, you can do almost anything.
Also, and we can leave with this, and anybody can comment before we do so, but according to a Washington Post ABC News poll, two-thirds of the respondents said that they are concerned about a widespread epidemic of Ebola in this country.
Yeah, that was interesting. It's like 40%.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
No, not a bit.
In other words,
should be concerned. We
hope that it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say to somebody, are you concerned? And they say yes, it makes sense.
It, like anthrax, fear of Ebola is moving into the popular culture. At the university the other day, a student sneezed rather loudly in the big common room. Ebola. They laughed, you know, but it was a nervous laughter. That's the sort of thing that's happening. It is just like anthrax.
Although Don Steiner, who is quite frequently checks in, says Ebola will never be as serious as obesity and smoking.
Well.
And gives the facts and figures.
Those are pretty serious.
Yeah.
Let us go to what we're going to...
I was just saying, it's not like you have to pick. Like,
right.
No, that or Ebola.
By the way, I agree with you. I agree. It makes me nuts.
It's not a contest.
I hate those things. Oh, worry about the flu, not Ebola. Well, no, you can worry about both. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. Like, there doesn't have to be a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. This is worse. Okay. Let's go to one. Let's see. We can get two more stories in here before we head out. I thought the story was interesting coming out of Harvard University in Boston, in Cambridge to be exact. Dozens of Harvard Law School faculty members are asking the university to withdraw its new sexual misconduct policy, saying that it violates basic principles of fairness and would do more harm than good. Quote, Harvard has adopted procedures for deciding cases of alleged sexual misconduct which lack the most basic elements of fairness and due process and are overwhelmingly stacked against the accused and are in no way required by the federal anti-discrimination law known as Title IX. They wrote in an op-ed article signed by 28 current and retired members of the Harvard Law faculty and posted online by the Boston Globe on Tuesday.
Very interesting piece. And there were some distinguished female professors who signed that. Rosemary.
Oh, I wanted a guy to go first, and then I could react.
Why did you think I said Rosemary?
I know you did. My position is I'm a feminist, but I raise sons. I have three sons, so I don't think that it's ridiculous to ask for a law that protects women. The laws up to now always seem to have favored the person being charged, which is usually a man and not the woman. So I like that there's balance swinging the other way. But I don't want to make it so easy to put any young man who's accused of a crime to get them in trouble and ruin their life. I think this is a great balance, and I'm happy to see it.
Well,
reasonable.
A similar set of standards are being put into place at the various State University of New York campuses.
Right.
You know, it was different at many different campuses.
We talked
campuses,
about that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just underscores how colleges are struggling with it. It's a pendulum that has swung the wrong way for
exactly.
a long time. And
right.
is it valid to swing it the other way, which also may have its flaws. It's a really difficult topic. Some people think that you just need to follow the law and bring in law enforcement and use due process and use evidence gathering. But I don't know, at a college campus that becomes very challenging.
And there's also a lot of discussion going on and a look at the history and how you put into place the rules. So because this is such an intimate part of life, so what does it mean to give positive consent? We talked about this. You know, do you say like, okay, now it's okay to kiss me? Okay, now it's okay to like, okay, you can go further? I mean, what is
New York's policy?
How do you document it?
It doesn't have to be verbal. It can be action.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
What
do you mean? I'm sorry.
You don't have to say, yes, it's okay to kiss me now. You can signal it some other way.
Push them away.
Close your eyes and push your lips forward.
Yeah, that's right. You can pucker up. I don't know. But
you're paying quite
it
a
recognizes
picture
that this is incredibly nuanced and that communication is important. And I think it's part training. I mean, I think it has to begin long before people go to college.
One can read the story. I believe it's Joseph in the Bible and being falsely accused, this has been going on for a long, long time.
So what happens when you tick off the law professors?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I found it interesting that the people who are coming forward to this are lawyers and are the law professors of a prestigious university of saying, okay, we not only believe – but we're concerned about what trouble this could put the university in.
Well, I think it's great that there is some temperate thought about this, because if you don't have it, you get a witch hunt. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. You may get some cheap tin horn politician who decides, he needs another 5 points on his, numbers and tries to exploit it. We need to think this thing through. But on the other hand, police, for example, you see teams down south where they have never been really People have never been brought to justice, guys who clearly did bad things, because the police are in on it. You know, they say, well, this is our team, this is our town, we don't do this kind of thing. So it's a mess.
We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Just noticing we got a lot more letters, so you want to get to
We have a lot more letters? Oh, okay. Well, John says, I was in the nuclear business for years. We practiced putting on and taking off decontamination and protective gear for hours on end. We became quite expert at putting on and taking off fully contained positive pressure suits, respirators, and all types of protective gear. Such simple technique and standard operating procedures allowed us to work safely in all manner of harsh and dangerous conditions. The sophisticated medical groups could take a lesson from something as simple as practice, practice, practice. And that's from John. And let's see. Gary says, guys, study our recent history. Gas prices always drop just prior to the November election cycle. Gary. I don't know.
Well, I think that's what I
that's
have.
What you have. Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
That's what I have. That's what you have. Let's go to and let's end with yogurt.
Yogurt.
The dairy industry is win one for the dairy industry. Yogurt is the New York's official state snack.
Right. Do you remember the John? What's his name? You know, the Daily Show.
John Stewart.
Yeah, John Stewart. Takeoff on
yes,
this when it was being debated in the state legislature. Well, it was passed, and yogurt is officially
lovely, 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 and I'm glad you all like it and will continue to eat it. As for me, not so much.
Not so much.
For me,
well,
cheese doodles are the only thing.
Yes, I do not.
the potato chip was not adequately debated.
No, Idaho. That's Idaho.
Well, apparently it's because I did not realize that New York was such a top producer of yogurt.
That's right.
It is. It's people forget that New York's dairy industry is one of the largest in the country.
Governor Cuomo made a big thing out
and
of yogurt.
We have two major manufacturers of Greek yogurt in upstate New York. We have Chobani down near Binghamton, and we have Fahe, I believe is the pronunciation,
which
is not too far from the capital region, just west of here.
Yeah.
And it's utilizing the availability of New York's great milk from its
Roselle sends
farm.
Me over to this. Roselle sends me
but
over to the
yogurt.
Big Y all the time to get that stuff. Those very brands you mentioned.
I heard somebody say on one of the morning news shows, Governor Cuomo, in a courageous act, signed the bill into law.
Yes, yes.
Very funny.
What does it do when you become an official snack? Does this help you sell more? Does it make people feel compelled to eat it?
I think it's over. It's
I think for like state dinners and that kind of thing that they will
serve.
Legislators to say we passed just another thing.
By the way, does frozen yogurt count?
I hope so.
Oh,
yeah.
The real question is how much sugar do you have to put in one way or another, fruit or otherwise, to make it taste good?
Yeah, to make it actually. Yeah. So what about the lactose intolerant amongst us?
That's true, but they have those too.
That's true.
Your yogurt.
All right. Well, while your mind reels at those thoughts, let's remind you that you can comment, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear from you. Michael, Rosemary, Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Big Joe.
We will be back tomorrow with another panel. In the meantime, the roundtable continues. You're listening on WAMC.